This is Austin Pace with BYU Idaho Radio, and I'm joined today by the cast and crew of The Marriage of Figaro, a four-act opera performed by the Idaho Falls Opera Theater. Thank you guys for joining me.
Thank you for having us.
Good to be here.
Awesome. So there's four of you guys in this room, and I want to get to know each and every one of you individually. So we're just going to kind of go around and do introductions, explain who you are and your role in the show, starting here.
I'm David Olson, and I am actually faculty here at BYU-Idaho, and it's my first time performing with Idaho Falls Opera Theater. I'm performing the role of Count Almaviva.
Awesome.
I'm Roger Evans. I'm the music director for the Idaho Falls Opera Theater. I've been with them for a long time.
I'm Joelle Wilmore. I am from Idaho Falls. I will be playing Susanna in The Marriage of Figaro.
I'm Dana Atkins. I am the director of The Marriage of Figaro, and I'm also from Idaho Falls originally.
Perfect. So I want to ask all of you guys a similar question. It might be a little bit different response-wise because of what you guys do, but starting with Dr. Olson, what made you get into acting?
For me, I guess acting has always been a wonderful sort of outlet. And I think it's one of the reasons why people love the arts is it allows you to sort of connect with and express with emotions and feelings that maybe sometimes are not always socially appropriate. I think one of the things that we really love about being on stage is how you can explore the full range of human emotion and experience in a safe place. And so a lot of people are attracted to the arts for that reason. There's a wonderful expression of personal feeling. And so that's one of the things that I really love about theater.
What created this character for you?
Oh, well, the Count, I have a history of performing this sort of like bad guy roles, the antagonistic characters. Part of that is just because of my voice type. Lower voices often get the evil villain voice. But I think one of the things that I like about the Count is that even though I try not to act like the Count in real life, because he's an extremely selfish and unkind person, I recognize that there's parts of myself in his character. I sometimes have desires to do things that are selfish or unkind or just self-centered at others' expenses. And by putting those parts of myself into this role, then I'm able to bring a bit of authenticity and myself to it while also just still recognizing that this is not how I would really want to be in real life, but it's fun to play that on the stage.
Right. And I think that's something super important with acting in theater. I did theater all through high school, all growing up. And for me, finding roles and doing those roles and performing them like they should be performed was great. But it was also fantastic finding a little piece of me that I could put into that character. And I think that's what creates a lot of diversity within the characters. Is that kind of what you were getting at?
Absolutely. And I also think that's why audiences love to attend performances with theater, because they will find a piece of themselves in each of those different characters on stage. Even if the exact situation is different than their own life, they can really identify with the motivations, they can identify with the emotions and the various ways that people interact.
Awesome. So tell me a little bit about your character and what got you into acting.
I am playing Susanna, and my character is the fiance of Figaro. And this is The Marriage of Figaro, so, you know. But I am pursued by the Count, and so we've got kind of a love triangle going on here. And it's fun and exciting to work with talented people from this area. I'm really enjoying it. What got me into acting and music, at a young age, I loved to perform for my family, for friends, and it just carried on throughout. My mother was really into music and started me off in piano early. I got into violin, and then I wanted to get into vocal, but I couldn't take until I was about 16 because none of the professional teachers would take me. So at 16, I kind of dropped everything else and pursued that, and I've been doing it ever since.
Awesome. So for you, how have you been able to, kind of like Dr. Olson, incorporate a little bit of who you are into the character of Susanna?
Oh, I feel like I relate to her a lot. She's very loyal, and I feel like I have that in my own relationship in my life. She's playful. She's determined. She's mischievous. I mean, all the things that I can find in myself. I actually don't think there's a part of her that I don't find in myself. So mm-hmm. It's been a fun role to put on stage, or will put on stage.
Awesome. So this question is now directed at both of you. Who is your inspiration when it comes to acting or musical theater or even just music in general? Either one of you guys can answer first.
That's a great question.
That is a great question.
So one of my inspirations is my mother, who was an opera singer and performer and a fantastic music teacher. And she was involved, I remember, just all through my teenage years and young adulthood in shows up here at Ricks College. She played the role of Catashaw in The Mikado. And just a host of other things that she's been involved with. She was really heavily into music. And that really inspired me to pursue music as well. And so my mother certainly is someone to whom I owe a great debt of my interest in music and performing.
I'd say the same. My mother, I mean, she wasn't vocal, but she piano, which started me on the path of music. I probably wouldn't have done it without her. So old movies, we watched them all. And she'd bring us to BYU, Idaho as well. Well, it was Ricks College at the time, and we'd all watch all the shows. And she was very hands-on with music, and it didn't matter what we were interested in. She let us pursue it. So I'd have to say my mother as well.
Awesome. I'm going to give you guys the exact same answer. My mom is like my biggest inspiration when it comes to music and all of that. So I relate very well with both of those answers. So, Dana, you are the director. Is that correct?
Yes, I am.
Awesome. So we've kind of talked a little bit to a couple of the characters in the show, but like a lot of other people, like me, a lot of other people don't really know what the show is about. So could you give us a little rundown of the show?
Oh, goodness. I thought this was going to be your job, Roger, giving us a synopsis. Okay. Will you help me?
Sure.
Okay. So this is The Marriage of Figaro. So if you don't know, this is actually the second part of a story written by Beaumarchais. Is that how you say it? So the first one is The Barber of Seville, if you've heard of that. So this is actually the second installment of it. And in this show, Figaro and Susanna are engaged to be married, and they live in the household of Count Almaviva. And the Count is married to Rosina. Yes, we never say her name in this one, but in Barber of Seville, her name is said a lot. Who the Count and the Countess were married in the previous show, The Barber of Seville. Anyway, it is one day of madness is what it's called. And so at the beginning, in the morning, the Figaro and Susanna are getting their room ready, basically for after they're married, where they're going to live. And the Count is kind of trying to stall their wedding because the Count is trying to pursue Susanna. And so then that escalates in a lot of comedy and trying to trick one another. There's a lot of like this person playing this person, and then just a lot of, I don't know the right word for it. Help
misunderstandings.
Me. Misunderstandings. Yeah. There we go. Comedy of errors. Yeah. It's kind of like any romantic comedy that you see. It's like we were talking about earlier, how all this misunderstanding happens because people can't just come out and say what they're feeling or what they're thinking. You know, it's kind of very much like Jane Austen. You know, there was so many misunderstandings because people couldn't just appropriately in society come out and say exactly what they were thinking. So that's kind of what leads to all of this, all these mistakes and misunderstandings, and also Figaro trying to foil the Count's plans to seduce his fiance. So
Roger, do you have anything to add to that? Or did she just hit that right on the head?
I think she did a great job. It is constantly misconstrued or some subterfuge going on, and it gets found out incorrectly. So that adds to the plot. And, of course, Mozart, what a talent to bring everybody together in these songs at the same time as they reveal these situations that they're going through. So it's very exciting.
Right. I wanted to dive into the music aspect now and talk a little bit about the score. So tell me a little bit about the score, who wrote it, and what's kind of the tone of the music?
Well, it's a guy, maybe you've heard of him, is Mozart. Mm-hmm. Obviously a genius. I think we all know of Mozart. In fact, a couple of the songs in this show are in the Baby Einstein. Is that what it's called? Baby Einstein, you know, for kids and that kind of thing. You'd be surprised at how many of these melodies you know. And this is hundreds of years ago. This show incorporates a pants role. One of our characters is played by a woman, but it's a young boy character. In fact,
teenage boy.
Yes. Nikkel Shapiro, a graduate of BYU-Idaho, is in that role, and she's doing a fabulous job. So that's neat. We will have a full orchestra. It's very exciting. The music is very complex and yet very simple.
Mozart wrote it in 6 weeks. Yeah. And I couldn't even learn it in 6 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's just excellent. Excellent. We've had to make a lot of cuts because the original is just so long. We don't expect people to sit in the seats for that long. Mm-hmm. So we've tried to make it manageable there and still have the story intact.
Right. So you've been working with, I guess, as a music director for how long?
For this show?
Just in general.
Oh, I guess it's been 24, 25 years.
So a lot of time.
Mm-hmm.
How has your previous knowledge in, I guess, music and music directing helped you with this show?
I think what I bring is knowledge with the instrumental side of things. I play in the Idle Falls Symphony and some other things, and so I have really good contacts with some really exceptional performers. And so that group comes together really late in the game. They have to be fairly skilled, especially with this music. So bringing that together, I also go to all of the rehearsals because it's as much learning for me as it is for them, so that when it all comes together, they're seeing exactly what they saw through the rehearsals as we bring all that together.
Right.
So,
Dana, back to you. You've been directing for how long?
So I originally started on the stage. Being on the stage is my first love, musical theater and dance. And then it kind of gradually turned into directing. I started out directing children's shows, children's musical theater. And I did that quite a bit. My first time directing an opera was in 2018. Is that when it was?
I believe you.
Così fan tutte?
Yeah.
With the Idle Falls Opera Theater. So this is my second opera that I've directed. I also directed
HMS
Pinafore. Thank you. So I've been directing for quite a while, but opera still feels kind of new and I really have to be on my game.
Right. So how is it different? What's the difference between, I mean, musically and style-wise, opera is very different from musical theater. Like I can think of how different the composer Mozart is from Lin-Manuel Miranda, right? So how different is it directing two different, very different styles of music?
I think that the thing that sets opera apart is that it doesn't stop. It's just continuous. This has four acts in it, and each act runs about 30 to 40 minutes. And so if you think about a musical theater show, generally a scene is no longer than 10 minutes, and then you have a blackout and you set up for a new scene. And so that I think that's one of the things that's the hardest, and to keep it going, to keep that blocking as continuous as the music, because you have to balance it between, you know, the stillness and then the movement as well. And this opera is very chaotic. There's always people running in from this side and out this side. And so it doesn't lend to a lot of stillness throughout. And so keeping up with that chaotic without making it too muddy.
Mm-hmm.
And they still have to be able to sing as they're moving around the stage. So the balance of that is trickier, I think, with opera.
How have you been working with the stage director to make sure that those
are you?
You're the stage director as well.
Manager?
Yeah, stage manager. Sorry, yes, stage manager. How have you been working with your stage manager to make sure that all of that flows while the music continues going and while they're, you know, changing scenes while singing?
Mm-hmm. So, luckily, in the act, it's just one set for that whole act, mm-hmm. and then we change in between. So we will have like act one and act two, and then intermission, and then act three and act four. But the cool thing about this opera is that we have an ensemble that is made up of servants in the household. And so we've incorporated these servants as doing the scene changes while the next act is starting so that we don't really have like a final blackout after every act. And that was in an attempt to keep it moving as well, because we don't want to add time on to this opera. We've tried so hard to cut it down. And so it's been kind of fun, I think, to figure out how to use those servants, not just, you know, they're not just in black changing the set. They are the servants changing the set. And I think that's helped.
Yeah.
Part of the story.
Keep it continuous. Yeah.
Awesome. So how many cast and crew members are part of the production?
Well, there's five main roles, four sub-main roles, and then an ensemble. Everybody in this show is just extraordinarily talented. I mean, it really is the cream of the crop, I think. In fact, all of them, you know, they all bring their own part to it, which makes a whole that's much more successful than I think we even thought it would be. Mm-hmm. So it is exciting when everybody gets involved, and we value every single one of them, both on stage and off stage.
Yeah, so we have 19 in the cast, and it's interesting because Mozart didn't write his, well, at least the two operas that I've directed, the ensemble, the chorus is very small, meaning they're on stage a very small amount of time. This one is more, and I think there's more exciting things to do. Like in Act 3, we actually have the wedding celebration where they're all there, and then there's a dance they all get to participate in, which I think is really fun. And so we've tried to figure out how to get them involved a little bit more so that they don't feel like it's just, you know, sporadic singing, you know, and really work on their characters even in that short amount of time as they're on stage. And I think that's been really fun to watch them develop all of their different roles and, like, what kind of servant are you? And what is your relationship with the Count? Are you terrified of him, or have you maybe had some outside relations with the Count? Or, you know, what is your relationship with him and with Susanna and Figaro as well? So I think that the ensemble has done a fantastic job of developing their characters, even in their limited time that they are in rehearsal and on stage.
And adding on to that, there's so many people involved in a production like this.
Yes.
Stage manager, costumes, props, all of them. Have been working for months.
Rehearsal accompanists.
Yeah, definitely. To bring all of this together to when we get to the Frontier Center in Idaho Falls to put it together, there's a lot of work and a lot of time spent to make that happen. So
yeah, and the transition to the Frontier Center, we're trying to make that as go as smoothly as possible because we only have 4 days on that stage before we open. And so trying to make sure that everything is ready to go before we get in there. You know, not only just make sure we can run the entire show, but that we know what we're doing with lights and scene changes, which we're already practicing because it's part of the show. That all takes a lot of time to get together, and we don't have time when we get there.
Awesome. So a couple more questions for you guys, but just going around the table, what is your favorite scene or favorite part of the show?
For me, the favorite moments in the show have got to be the end of Act 2 and Act 4, these big finales where you have this wonderful melting pot of all the characters coming on stage. They are each having a chance to express sort of their own viewpoint, their emotions. And we have these wonderful Mozart ensembles where you have everybody singing something different. And they each kind of have a chance to stick out, and the audience has a moment to really connect with each character individually, even though they're all singing at once, which I think is a really just a fun and unique sort of Mozart invention. There's not a lot of other composers that write that way, but those are my favorite moments. The end of Act 2 and the end of Act 4 have moments like that. So,
since his are the same as mine, I will agree. And you also have to understand that the finale of Act 2 and Act 4 are really long, but they don't feel long. I mean, if you're watching them, they won't feel long because there are people coming in and people coming out, and it's just busy, 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 and it's really lots of fun.
Roger, what about for you?
Well, of course, those are the very exciting times, but there's probably something we should mention is all of the dialogue is sung. It's they're recitatives, so you have the arias and et cetera that they're singing, the lamenting or celebrating or whatever, ruminating perhaps. But then when they're talking amongst each other, it's sung in the recitative form. So I enjoy those quite a bit.
So what is the recitative form?
What is so basically we put a what's called a continuo underneath chords on a harpsichord, or in this case an electric harpsichord, and they have chords and melodies that they sing to the pattern of speech over the top of that.
It's a spoken dialogue yeah. moves the story along.
Right. Yeah.
And it's freer than the other music because they do get to speak it, sing it like they would speak it. And that's mm-hmm. the goal is to make it less singing and actually be talking with each other.
All of the songs are going to be doing in Italian. And that may feel inaccessible. We're going to have supertitles above the stage so you can follow along what's being sung there. But you get to hear it in the original Italian, which is quite beautiful. And it's amazing, something English makes difficult. But then all the recitatives, the story building and explaining will all be in English. And again, with the supertitles. So even if you have trouble following that, it'll be up there to see. So trying to make it as accessible as possible, but doing it in the original language.
Awesome. Dana, what is your favorite part of the show?
I have a really hard time picking favorites, like in everything in my life. My favorite part. I don't know. I think I have favorite parts all throughout. I do love the moments like they were talking about at the end of Act 2 and Act 4, where it is everyone singing. And it's really fun because it's not like one person is featured. They're kind of overlapping and singing. And so all of their parts are just as important there, which you, like David said, you don't get that in a lot of other operas or even musical theater. I mean, you're not going to have eight people singing their own line at the same time. So I really enjoy those moments, but I really love the chaos of this show. There's lots of kind of chases, and there's lots of doors going on. And so one person comes in this door and another person goes out that door. And then there's a lot of hitting, and it's a very chaotic opera. A lot of times when you think of opera, you think of people just like, what you say, park and bark, right? They're just standing and singing. This opera does not really lend to that because it is so chaotic. And I was a little anxious at first because I like a lot of movement so that you can really feel the stillness when it is still. And so I started watching a lot of recordings of it, and it's the same thing. There's movement throughout this whole thing. There is not a lot of just stillness, unless it's very intentional stillness. And so I really have loved figuring out that chaos.
Awesome. So for you two who are performing in this, who are singing, how has the Italian been? How have you guys been able to sing in Italian? Or do you speak Italian? Or how has that been for you guys?
Neither of us is fluent in Italian, though some of our cast members are. But for me, fortunately, I've had enough experience with singing in other languages, and I've studied other languages enough to kind of get some of the basic grammar and basic vocabulary to where I feel like I can understand what I'm singing. There's also valuable resources, direct literal translations that help you know just what these words mean. And then it's been a matter of repetition and practice. And it's difficult to learn it on your own at first. And so then your learning gets augmented and enhanced as you get with the other cast members and you get to work with Roger and his musical direction. It really starts to solidify those things. But it's a process. It takes some time. I think we've all been studying this music for months now. So, yeah. But it's been a fun challenge.
I feel like I'm the underdog of the main group with the Italian. It's been syllable by syllable of learning it and just hard work and a lot of studying. So that I know what I'm singing, so I know what my partners are singing. And it helps, too. One of our cast members has been to Italy, and she lived there for a time. So I'll ask her, like, hey, how do I say this? And, I mean, we are all in it together, and we are a musical family, and we all help each other out when we need it. And it's been pretty fantastic.
One thing that I've noticed, like, when you guys first walked into that door and I first met you guys, you were laughing, you were talking, you said that this is a family, right? So how has this relationship with not only you four here, but with the entire cast, how has that built and really helped you all do the best that you can and be the best performers that you can?
Mm, we really like each other. I mean, we are together all the time. I mean, just this weekend, we had rehearsal Saturday, and we stayed after rehearsal and talked for 2 hours. And then I rushed to Costco to grab stuff for a party, and one of the cast members, her husband was having a party, and we went to a party that night, and we were together the rest of the night. And then Sunday morning was Easter morning, and we were all singing together at First Presbyterian. Monday, we're at rehearsal again. Like, we are literally together daily, and yeah, it's a musical family, and we grow together, we work together, we cry together when necessary, and we build each other up. I mean, that's the good part of a family, right, is that you build each other up, and when one is struggling, you're all struggling together, and when one is having a good moment, we're all smiling and happy together. So it's kind of fantastic, and it just grows with each show that we do together, and I love it.
The incredible amount of work that these guys have put in, it's just phenomenal. We did our casting in October and November, and since then, they've been in the book, 480-something pages of incredibly difficult and wonderful music. They really have worked so hard. And so that's an inspiration for everybody, I think. And we do battle our way through a lot of things, and that brings you closer, just like Joelle said.
I think another thing to add on is that this opera is pretty physical, and so you get comfortable with each other pretty quick, because if there's that barrier of, you know, I don't know you very well, and I'm not comfortable embracing or touching in any way, then that limits what you can do in rehearsal. And so it's kind of interesting, because the first time I had David and Joelle together, they didn't know each other at all. And it's a pretty physical scene. And so it was amazing to me how just immediately they were like, okay, let's do this. They just kind of dropped their barriers and then got comfortable pretty quick. And I feel like that's the whole cast. They've had to kind of jump in just very comfortable with each other. And then that has strengthened, you know, the bonds of friendship, and we're able to create some pretty awesome things together.
And that scenario does get easier with time, because you learn to trust each other, and that person would never do anything to you that you wouldn't want, and vice versa. And so there is a form of trust that happens too.
Awesome. So when does the production open?
We're performing at the Frontier Center in Idaho Falls on the 12th, 13th, and 15th at 7 p.m.
Awesome.
David, do you want to try that in your voice?
No.
Perfect. Well, it was so great to meet you guys. And, you know, good luck with your guys' show. I'm super excited to see how it all comes together.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Thanks so much.